He's a prayer answering God. I had a chance to spend a little time with a young man. He's 18, 19 years old, young Christian. And on Friday afternoon, we were talking a little bit, and he was sharing with me some different specific prayer requests. And I began to just kind of share out of some of my experiences with God, of things that I prayed for specifically and how God had answered. And, you know, I told him that God always answers, but, you know, sometimes it may be in a way different than we think he should, or maybe sometimes he'll just say no or wait or yes. And so he had an employment. He needed to be hired at this particular place. He needed to earn a little more money, and so he was getting ready to go interview with them Friday afternoon. So we prayed about it, and he went and interviewed, and you know, they offered him a job. So he texted me, and he was just so excited. I said, man, our God, man, we bring our requests before God. He always meets our needs. Now, he doesn't always give us all our wants and desires, but he always meets our needs. So I'm sure next time I get a chance to see him, we'll talk a little more. And so as he begins to grow in his faith, he was just so excited. He said, man, they offered me a job, man. I'm just excited. I said, man, you know, God, because we had prayed that. I said, God, whoever you're going to be interviewing with, God has their heart in his hand. Even if they're a Christian or not a Christian, God can turn their heart and mind however he sees fit. However he sees fit. So it's good to know that we serve a God like that. That whatever situation you or I go into, whoever we're dealing with, whatever it is, the odds may seem stacked against us. And sometimes, many times they are, humanly speaking. But we do serve a God, as we just sang about. He indeed does just what he says he's going to do. He's Jehovah Jireh. That means he's our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha. That means he's our healer. He's our everything. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's our peace. He's all that we need. I say he's all that we need. I say he's all that we need. Amen. Amen. If you can stand with us and take your Bibles, or it's in your bulletin as well. Like I said, I'm beginning a new series today on prayer. We're going to look at selected portions of scripture that deals with prayer and see what we can learn about prayer. Prayer is one of those things a lot of us know we should do it, and we do it, but we need to work at it even more. Our prayer life can always improve. I'm going to read in your hearing. I'm mainly going to preach on Matthew 6, verse 9, but I'm going to read in your hearing verses 5 through 9. Matthew 6, verse 5 through 9. My Bible says the model prayer. That's what it's called. We often call this the Lord's Prayer, and it's really Jesus instructing his disciples, instructing us how to pray. The Lord's Prayer, biblical example of that would be John 17, when Jesus prayed to God right before he was getting ready to go to the cross. But this is the model prayer. We often call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's more really the disciples' prayer. Matthew 6, and I'm going to read verses 5 down through 9. And Jesus says, also, let me just say this as a side note. This is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, three chapters. The greatest sermon ever preached, the greatest sermon ever preached. It was Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So this is kind of in the middle of that Jesus' sermon. He says in verse 5, he said, when you pray, talking to his disciples and talking to us, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, child of God, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's kind of what me and the young man experienced on Friday. Verse 7, and when you pray, child of God, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, Jesus says. Don't be like the heathen. Don't be like the hypocrite. For your Father knows, and this is an exciting verse, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I'm going to stop there before I'm finished preaching today. I'm just going to tag this title today, and really it's for the whole series, really, how to get a prayer through. How to get a prayer through to heaven. How to get a prayer through, or how to have an effective prayer life. You may be seated. How to get a prayer through. How to get a prayer through. How to make sure heaven is hearing our prayers. Father, indeed, take the words of my mouth and pray that the meditations of my heart are acceptable in your sight. Speak to and through me, dear God, to us, your people. For I dare say we all can improve in our area of having an effective prayer life. So teach us today, dear God, in Jesus' name. Amen. How to get a prayer through. How to have an effective or more effective prayer life. We're going to look at, as I said earlier, in the coming weeks, we're going to look at this Matthew 6 and also some other prayers from the Old Testament and the New Testament, and just see what information we can learn, what we can glean, how we can be more effective in our prayer life. Surely the disciples, I think it's Luke's account, they came to Jesus on one occasion. They asked Jesus, Jesus, teach us how to pray. So I'm sure they saw something in Jesus' prayer life that was lacking or that was missing in their prayer life. And so Jesus began to teach them how to pray. This prayer that we're going to look at part of it this morning, it's really a model. Some people pray it verbatim. That's okay. But it really shows us some of the elements that we should have in our prayer life. Let me just give you this on the front end, and we'll elaborate this as we go through the next few weeks. Our prayer should have some confession of sin. I use the acronym CATS, C-A-T-S. When we come before God, even as I heard, even as Deacon Hardaway was praying earlier, Jeffrey, he mentioned sin. I mean, we should always confess sin, because as long as you're living on planet Earth, as long as you are on planet Earth, we're going to be battling with this sin issue. So we can't hide sin from God. If you sin, just say, God, forgive me for this sin. You're faithful to forgive. Forgive me for this sin. Also in our prayer life, saints, we should always have some adoration, some A. We're going to look at that in just a moment. We should be adoring God. We should be magnifying his name, talking about who he is, using some of his attributes. We should adore God, reverence God as we pray. So also in our prayer life, we have many things to be thankful for. So I'm talking about CATS, C-A-T-S. Thankful. We always put some thanksgiving in your prayers. I don't believe, unless it's just a quick emergency prayer, if you will, or shooting up a missile to heaven right quick, but in our prayer, we should always have some thanksgiving in there. So God, thank you that I can even think to pray. Thank you that I can even say a few words. Thank you that I can even open my Bible and maybe see some examples of how to pray. Thank you just for all the things you've done in the past. He's already done a whole lot for us already today. I'm just talking about today. I'm just talking about today. He's already done enough for us to thank him tremendously today. So I always put some thanksgiving in your prayer. And then this last one is S. We majored on that one. We got that one down. Supplications, you know, your requests, you know, asking God for stuff. We do pretty good on that one. But that's okay to ask God for your needs to be met. That's biblical. That's biblical. So that's just a little side note. As we pray, there are many facets and elements of prayer. So today's sermon is really just kind of a foundational sermon for prayer, for this series. Again, in verses 5, 6, and 7, before Jesus teaches you and me how to pray, he tells us how we ought not to pray. Sometimes to do the right thing, if you just knew what not to do, that'll help you do the right thing. So Jesus said, don't pray like this. Jesus said, don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't pray like the religious leaders of the day, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees. And I read it earlier. He said, Jesus said, they just pray just to be heard. They stand on the street corner and want people to say, oh man, he can really pray. He prayed today. Jesus said, no, don't be praying just to be heard by men. Jesus said, no, don't be praying just to make a public spectacle, you know, to people hear how well you pray. Jesus said, don't pray like that. Jesus said, if you're praying to me, you can come in private. You can come in secret and just be sincere, and you can pray to me, and whatever you pray to me, sincerely pray to me, Jesus, even though you're praying for it secretly, I'm going to reward you openly. Jesus, you don't have to stand on the corner of the street. You don't have to get in the pulpit or wherever and just, hey, I'm praying, and let people hear you pray. Just pray sincerely and secretly, and people will see the results of your prayer life. People will see the results of your prayer life, because I will reward you openly. That's what he says in verse 6. I will reward you, God says, openly. And then he also says, don't pray like the religious leader, the religious folks, the church folks, if you will, but don't pray like them. But also don't pray like the heathen, the pagan, the person that's out there babbling and got all these long prayers and long things, like the Muslim or something, all these long, organized, all these many words, and they think their God, which is a false God anyway, they think their God will hear them because of their many words. Jesus, don't pray like that. Jesus, don't pray like the heathen. The only way the heathen can get a prayer through is come to the Lord and say, God, I am a sinner in need of a savior. I need to be born again. They can pray all kind of words, but if they're not a Christian, God doesn't hear their prayer to answer their prayer. So Jesus, don't pray like the heathen. And Jesus, don't pray like the hypocrite, the religious folks, the religious leaders. Don't pray like them. But then on my way to verse 9, look at verse 8. He says, don't be like them. Watch this, saints. This ought to cause you to rejoice this morning. Jesus says, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask him. Now, I know none of us are naive enough to think when we come to God that we're giving God some information like he didn't already know it. Jesus said, God already knows what you need even before you ask him. So you and I, as we ask him, that's good for our humility. That's good for us to come as a showing that we are utterly dependent on God. God, I know you know I got a need. I'm unemployed now. I know you know I got a need for a job. I know you know, I already know that, but I'm coming and asking you that you would open up the door of employment. You already know I need that, but I'm coming to you to ask you that without you, I won't even get it. I can't get it. So I come to you, dear God, even though you know already what I already need, even before I even ask it. Now that should bring you some comfort right there. Even before you ask, even before you articulate it, even before you think it, God already knows that you and I need it. And he's already told us that he is a providing God. He provides all for all of our needs. The psalmist said it this way. He said, I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen a righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. If you belong to God, you should have, all your needs are going to be met. And if you have lack, just pray. And then God, maybe for some of us, maybe the need for the other believer is right in our own back pocket, or maybe it's giving him a ride somewhere. But our needs as Christians are going to always be met. Let me say that one more time. Our needs as a follower of Christ, as a worshiper of God, I don't have to worry about at all that any of all my needs will always be met. Verse 8 tells us that. Verse 8 says, hey, before you even ask, God knows. So here it is, saints. Here's the beginning of this prayer. Here's the beginning of this prayer. This is how you and I, this is an example. This is some elements that should be in our prayer life. It starts out first by saying, our Father. This is simple yet profound. Our Father. The reason some people in church have kind of like an ineffective or non-existent prayer life is because God is not their Father. The first step for you and me, the first step for any of us to have an effective prayer life, the first step, this is the basement floor, this is the very first step. The first prayer a person needs to pray is a prayer saying, God, I need to be saved. God, I need to have a relationship with you. God, I admit I am a sinner in need of a savior. God, I admit, I know, I've read, I've heard it preached, I've heard people tell me that Jesus died for my sins, and I'm going to trust him as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to confess him with my mouth and believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead, and I know I will be saved. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn away from the direction I am going, and I want to turn away from sin and turn to Christ. I want to receive him as my Lord and Savior. I want you to be my Father. That's the first prayer a person got to pray. A prayer of repentance, a prayer of salvation. That's the first prayer. You can't jump over that prayer and say, well, I'm going to be asking God for a job or for education or for a husband or for a wife and all that. I'm going to jump. No. He has to first be your Father. I said, he got to first be your Father. You got to first have a relationship, a saving relationship with him. You got to first be born again. Now, God is awesome. In his grace and in his mercy, I grew up in the church. And I remember being in college and I prayed for a job. And God gave me a job at TVA. And I was still unsaved. But it wasn't because I prayed that prayer. It wasn't so much because I prayed that prayer. It was because God was just drawing me to himself. I should have been praying, God, save. I was talking about, well, God, you give me this job. I'll start serving you. I mean, that's what I prayed. I'm just being transparent. I should have been saying, God, if you save my soul, God, I am a sinner. I need Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm glad God was long-suffering with me. But I'm saying the first prayer you and I need to pray is a prayer for a relationship with him. He has to first become. That's what Jesus says. Jesus kind of gives us a good sequence here, a perfect sequence. First starts out by saying, if you want to get a prayer through, you got to first make sure you have a relationship with God. That makes sense? I'm not saying you got to make sure your name is on Love Fellowship Church roll or some other church roll. I'm not saying you got to make sure you've been baptized. I'm not saying you got to make sure you do some pretty good deeds. I'm saying you got to be born again. I'm saying you got to be redeemed. I'm saying you got to be saved before you can say our Father. Our Father. Our Father. You got to make sure you know God personally. You got to make sure you know Jesus personally. You got to make sure the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you. And he lives inside of you. And he seals you into the day of redemption. So the first step is to get a prayer through is to make sure you are saved. That's a prayer to God. Anybody that cries out, hey, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. Hey, God, the Bible says whoever, Romans 10:13, I'm in the Bible, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's the first step. You got to make sure you're saved. You're born again. You got to make sure our Father. Then he says, our Father in heaven. I like the old King James, our Father who art in heaven. Our Father in heaven, the God of the Bible, the God of heaven. Our Father in heaven, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This Father, this God of the Bible. You got to make sure that it's the right God. You know, there's a lot of gods floating around out there, but only one true God. There's only one true God, the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible. I don't run along with those folks who believe that. Hey, we know a lot of people believe this now. It's getting more and more prevalent. Yeah, more and more people are saying this type of foolishness now that, well, look, hey, we all serving the same God. Well, it depends on who your God is. I'm serving the God of the Bible. I'm not serving the God that you make up in your own mind. I'm not serving the God of the Quran. I'm not serving the God of the Jehovah Witness God. I'm not serving the Mormon God. I'm serving the God of the Bible. I'm serving the God from Genesis to Revelation. I'm serving the God of the Bible, the God who arts in heaven. So you got to make sure you worshiping the right God, serving the right God. So Jesus said, this is how you get a prayer through. Our Father in heaven. Make sure you got a relationship with God. Make sure you got a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Father who is in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And it's good to know that he is our Father. As a Christian, it's good to know that God is our Father. I'm going to give you a couple of things. I can give you a lot more. But just by the simple fact, as we talk about prayer, if you really embrace and you really hold on to and believe the fact that God is your Father, knowing that God is our Father removes fear. You might want to write that down. Knowing that God is our Father, the God of the universe, that should remove fear. God even says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. I know in these fleshly bodies, and I know when stuff come on, sometimes we get fearful before we know it. But then I stop and think about, wait a minute. My God, he's all powerful. My God knows everything. My God is everywhere all at the same time. So I shouldn't have to be fearful. So knowing that God is our Father should remove fear. And it's good to know that our God, he is open to our prayers. I say he's open to our prayers. He's our Father. I love the picture. You all might have seen it. It's an infamous picture of JFK, President Kennedy. He was in the Oval Office and he has all these important people around his desk and they're, you know, all these dignitaries and all this and they going through some important stuff. And at the bottom of his feet, here is the President of the United States, but at the bottom of his feet is his son just down there playing and having a good time. His son is like, I could care less, Sister Mimi. I could care less about all these other dignitaries. This is my father. This is my daddy. He's the president, but he's my daddy. We got a God, he's not like he's sweating and hard to do it, but he's holding the whole universe together. He's doing all this stuff, and you and me, we can be right there at his feet. the God of the universe. We have access. The psalmist said it this way, saints. You know, I preached Psalm 34 in the month of January. He often said when David was on the run, I mean, this crazy Saul was after him, and then this other king was coming against him. And David often throughout Psalms 34 said, I cried out unto the Lord. I prayed to my God. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He heard me and answered my prayer and delivered me out of all my fears and delivered me out of all my troubles. And then David went on and said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Even though you and I go through afflictions, even though you and I go through trials and tribulations, even though you and I experience bereavement and those things, we have a God, we have a Father who's going to deliver us and brings us through all of those things. I said, he brings us through all of those things. So knowing that God is our Father removes fear. I mean, we prayed for it earlier. We mentioned there's a lot of things going on, you know. When you think about the not just the coronavirus, but other viruses, and think about the weather situations like with tornadoes and tsunamis. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's comforting to know. It's good to know that our God is sovereignly in control of all things. Now, we don't always understand why things happen the way they do. We do. Well, we can go back to Genesis 3 to sin, when sin came into the world, and it opened up a door of all kind of stuff. But we do know that God does cause all things to work together for the good for those who love him and those who are called according to his purposes. Another thing about our Father, knowing that God is our Father settles. I'm just talking about how to get a prayer through. This is kind of our foundational sermon for this series. Knowing that God is our Father settles a matter of resources. Knowing that God is our Father settles the matter of resources. In other words, we realize since God is our Father, he owns all things. I mean, the Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Guess what? He owns the hills too. The Bible says he owns all the gold and silver. So the fact that God is our Father should settle that matter of resources. Do I have enough of whatever enough is? Everything that we need, God has it. You believe that this morning? Everything that we need, God has it. Matter of fact, everything that we got, God gave it to us. Whatever you know, it was God who taught you. Wherever you come from, it was God who brought you. God has given us all that we have. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, let me give you a Bible verse. He has blessed us, Ephesians 1:3, listen to this. He has blessed us, sister son. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Let me read that again. Maybe I'm going too fast. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. He's given us all that we need. He's given us all that we need for our spiritual life. He's given us the full armor of God. He told us to put on the helmet of salvation. He told us to take up the shield of faith that we might put out the fiery darts of the enemy. He shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We can gird up our loins with the belt of truth. I mean, we got all that we need. We can take the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Brother Terrence, he's given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. As a child of God, you nor I can say, well, I didn't really have what I needed. Well, you must not have asked God. You must not have gone to Jesus. He got everything. I said, he got everything. I said, he got everything. Am I preaching to the Christian church this morning? He got everything. Y'all still sleep from that 1 hour you lost? He got everything. He has everything. So the fact that he's my Father, I got everything too. I had a friend in the 90s. He's a good brother. He helped disciple me some, and he was friends with a brother that was real wealthy. You know, he was kind of, you know, income was regular, just average, whatever. But he had a close Christian friend who was rich. And he's always telling him, I'm kind of like rich. He's always going to say, brother, since you rich, I'm your brother. I'm rich too. I don't know if that quite worked with that other brother like that. I don't know if he worked with him on that. But our God is rich. Our God is, so hey, we rich too. And oftentimes in America, we always go to the materialistic thing. I'm glad that I can be rich in peace. I'm glad I can be rich in joy. I'm glad I can be rich in comfort. All that other stuff come and go, you know. So knowing that God is our Father, it should settle the matter of resources. God got it. He provides for all of our needs. Third thing this morning, just a few foundational things. Knowing that God is our Father should settle the matter of loneliness. Knowing that God is our Father should settle the matter of loneliness. Now, you might have come from a two-parent home, a single-parent home, or a no-parent home. But God is our Father. I mean, God is our Father. You might be single, but God is with us. You know, friends may turn their backs on you. Or family members might turn their backs on you. Co-workers might try to dig ditches for you. Neighbors might shut you out and all that. Even sometimes church members. Yeah. Sometimes church members might turn their backs on you. But watch this. God is always with us. I said, the Lord is always with us. He is always with us. Matter of fact, he told us he would never leave us. No, never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. So knowing that God is our Father should settle that matter of loneliness. I love what Paul says one time when he was had been in prison and he, brothers was kind of hiding out, kind of like they did Jesus when Jesus was taken into prison, taken into captivity. Paul said, all forsook me. Everybody just went ghost. Then Paul said, basically, don't count it to their account, the Lord, but all stood with me. He said, none stood with me. Y'all heard me quote that before. He said, none stood with me. He said, oh, wait a minute. The Lord Jesus Christ stood with me. Jesus stood with me. Jesus was with me. So saints, because God is our Father, we're never alone. I love that hymn we sing from time to time. No, never alone. We're never alone. He walks with me. He talks with me. He leads me along life's narrow way. We're never alone. If you really grasp it and believe the fact that God is our Father, we're never alone. That's good news. I said, that's good news that we're never alone. I experienced something one time. It was when I was still working at TVA, and it was the National Day of Prayer. And, they had asked different people to pray. And so they asked me to pray, and you had different people praying. And, I'm sitting out there, quite a few people there. It was downtown TVA at the corporate office there and stuff. And, I'm not trying to be judgmental of anybody's prayers or anything, but I was about the fourth or fifth one on the docket. And everybody was getting up there and they was pretty much kind of reading prayer. Father, you are so. I mean, it's just kind of real. I was like, Lord, I wasn't looking for no real emotions. I'm not saying that, but it's like, man, it's like the Lord is not here. It's just reading prayer. And I felt, I felt so alone. I said, God, I'm in the midst of all these people. And I know some are probably Christian, some are probably not, some are religious, some are practice Judaism, just all the different stuff. I said, God, I'm getting ready to pray. And I just feel so alone. So I said, Lord, just fill me with your spirit. I want to pray a prayer that honors you. And so, I just went up there. I just went up there and prayed. Nothing wrong with writing out a prayer. You can write out a prayer. Nothing wrong with that. I just went up there and prayed, for the glory of God and sat down. And I was like, okay. But then afterwards, a few Christians came to me and they said, man, we glad I'm glad you prayed, man. But my point is this. I was in the midst of this big religious gathering, which is a good thing, National Day of Prayer. But I felt so alone. Like, man, some of these people's hearts seem far from God. I mean, they're saying some words, but it's more like that vain repetition of something we talked about earlier. So even in the midst of a bunch of people, all I'm saying is sometimes you can still feel all alone. But trust me, saints, you are never alone. God is always with you. And then sometimes we are just alone, physically by ourselves. Or sometimes you are in the midst of, you're the only saved person in the group. I mean, everybody else is a pagan. Everybody else is lost. You don't have to be one of them. I'm going to be saved tonight. Everybody else is lost. You feel all alone. But watch this. You are there for a reason. You're salt and light. You're not alone. God is with you. God is with you wherever you go, saints, wherever you go. One more thing. Knowing that God is our Father should settle the matter of obedience. It should settle the matter of obedience. If you really stop and think about, wait a minute, I'm praying to this God in heaven. He is my Father. You don't have time to be wondering, should I really obey him or not? No. If you know that's your Father and he is your Father, that should settle the matter of obedience. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus said. Made it simple and right to the point. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said this in Matthew 12 and 50. Jesus said, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, This is when his mother and them were outside, and they was saying, Jesus, you know, your mother and your brothers out there, your brothers and sisters out there. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, for whoever does the will of my Father, Matthew 12:50, my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. So it's the obedience issue. We show who we belong to by our lifestyle. I said, we show who we belong to by our lifestyle. The person who God is our Father, he puts in us a hunger, a desire to live holy. Now, yes, we miss the mark. Yes, we sin sometimes, but God does put a hunger and thirst. He says it this way in Ezekiel. I'm going to take out the heart of stone, and I heard it prayed earlier, and put in a heart of flesh. He says it in Jeremiah. I'm going to write my word. I'm going to write my word on your heart. That's what God says. So knowing God is our Father should settle that whole matter of obedience. Now, we don't always perfectly obey. I said, we don't always perfectly obey. I'm going to keep repeating myself until y'all say amen. We don't always perfectly obey. We miss the mark. We don't brag about it. We don't glory in it, but we miss the mark. We sin. But I love verses like 1 John 1:9, which said if we confess our sin, we just agree with God. Yes, God, I did sin. I did tell that lie. I did thought that thought I shouldn't have been thinking. I'm confessing my sin, but the Bible says God is faithful. God is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So it's good to know that we have a God who loves us even in spite of our stuff. God still loves us. A good example of that is this is not an excuse to live a sloppy or sinful or shabby life, but a great example of that is the parable Jesus tells. We often call it about the prodigal son. It's really more about the loving father. Jesus tells this parable, this story, if you will, about this father who represents God. He has two sons. You all know this. He has two sons, and the youngest son basically said, hey, Dad, I really wish you were dead. You know, give me your money, give me all my inheritance, and let me leave. I'm gonna shoot off to Atlanta somewhere. I'm gonna just be gone. And so his dad, a loving father, gave the young son, who really didn't have a relationship, a close relationship with the father, obviously, gave him all his inheritance. The Bible says he went on off, spent up all his money. While he had money, he had a lot of friends. And the Bible says he spent up his money. He didn't have any friends. And he hit rock bottom. And so this son, who obviously didn't have the type of relationship with his father that he should have, even though the father loved him, I said, man, I just need to go back home. And so he went back home, and y'all know how it goes. The father who had been looking out for his son, the father represents God once again. The father sees the son coming from afar off. The son had rehearsed a little speech, and the father runs, the Bible says, which in those days was very, most times the Jewish men didn't run like that, but he ran, the Bible says, grabbed his son. Said, son, he said, hey, y'all go kill the fatted calf. Go get a robe and put on my son. This son who was lost, now he's found. Put a ring on his finger. So the loving father, even in spite of the son wasting all the money, he still loved his son. But watch this, though. It's another son in the story that we don't talk about too often. The other son in the story who stayed there with the father, who worked and labored for the father day after day, but obviously did not have a close relationship with the father, really. He worked out of duty, I guess. When he hears about the party, he said, wait, what's going on? They said, well, you know, your brother, the one that went just buck wild, the one who left town and went out, he's back now. He's back now. And so your dad is throwing a party for him. Come on into the party. Do y'all know? In fact, I got some Bible readers, and this guy didn't want to come into the party. And so here it is again. The father comes out of the party, comes to the son who's been with him every day, who's been faithfully serving him and working him on the farm and doing all that. He came to the son and said, son, what's wrong? Come on in. You know, your brother, he's back now. And then the son has an attitude. He says, Dad, I've been here every day working hard. You ain't throw no party for me. You didn't kill the fatted calf for me. And then a loving father who represents God says, son, do you not know everything I have belongs to you? You here with me. Everything I have belongs to you. I'm just telling you, our father, even though we act like either the son who stayed at home or the son who went far away, even though we act all crazy or something, our God still has a loving hand reaching out toward us. So that's just sad of that fact that, hey, God loves me. So that kills loneliness. That kills obey. I want to obey a father like that. I said, I want to obey a father like that. One other thing, knowing that God is our father should settle the matter of selfishness. Because see, watch the text. Listen how Jesus told them to pray, told you and I to pray. He said, our father. Let me say that again. Simple yet profound. He said, our Father. So in my praying, in your praying, watch this. My prayer life shouldn't just be about me, but it should be more about we. Let me say that again. Your prayer life, my prayer life shouldn't just be about me, but it should be more about we. So anytime you and I pray, use some of that time to pray for some others. I'm going to give you an acronym in just a moment. But when you and I pray, pray for others. Pray away from yourself sometimes. Don't pray just for your family, just for your job. Pray for some other folks too. That was one of the things I like. E.V. Hill, he's with the Lord now, but if you ever want to hear some good old preaching, E.V. Hill, that's one of my favorite preachers. And he was preaching one time about, I think Sister Moore and I talked about this one time. He's talking about the sins of Job. Now I'm not going to say he's right on everything, but he talked about how Job, you know, God says Job was righteous, but we know Job wasn't perfect, right? I mean, Job was human. And then E.V. Hill says one thing about Job, you look at his prayer life in the Bible, he was pretty selfish with his prayer life. He just prayed about himself and his family. He should have been praying about them friends that came to see him later on. He should have been praying about them. But E.V. Hill said Job was a little selfish in his prayer life. So you and I, saints, when we pray, don't be selfish in your prayer life. Yes, pray for yourself. Yes, pray for your family. Yes, pray for, you know, your community. But pray for others. Pray for other members of Love Fellowship. Pray for other members of other churches, like right across the street, Miracle, a good friend, Randy Jacks, a good friend of mine. Pray for other churches as well. Pray for other pastors. Pray for other Christians. Pray for the lost. I'm going to give you an acronym in just a moment. But when you and I pray, the fact that we're praying to our Father, it should squelch this selfish, self-centered Christian stuff that we see on a lot of TV, a lot of preachers now about me, myself, and I. When I'm gonna hit the lottery? When God gonna bless me? It's all about blessing me. I wanna be blessed. Bless me, bless me, bless me. I'm being kind of facetious now. No, I ain't just about blessing you. Matter of fact, if God bless you, you probably ain't gonna try to bless nobody else. So when we think about, we are praying to our Father, not just my Father. He is my Father. He is your Father, but He's our Father. Y'all with me this morning? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As I hasten on, hallowed be thy name. Write this down. This word hallowed. Like I said, I'm kind of giving you some elements that should be in all of our prayer lives. This word hallowed simply means to honor as holy, to consider sacred. So when we pray to God, hallow His name, reverence His name. Man, it just infuriates me. But I realize some of these people don't even know Jesus, don't even know God. I like sports. A lot of times you watching them keep the interview, they'd be like, oh yeah, it was because of the man upstairs. I'm thinking, you know, when Tanya and I first got married, we lived in some apartments, you know, it was a man upstairs. Somebody lived up above me. Who are you talking about? The man upstairs, the big man. That's not hallowing God. And I know some people, that's just the best they know or whatever. But man, I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. Maybe this is your pastor's pet peeve. Don't let me hear any of y'all talking about the man upstairs, the big man upstairs. That ain't nowhere in the Bible. When you talk about God, He is upstairs. And I say, He's in heaven. He's God. And he's God. Like I said, a man upstairs, that could be somebody living on the fifth floor of your apartment complex. I mean, who is that? Hallow His name. Consider sacred. Consider other than. When we hallow His name, it means giving God, giving our Lord reverence, honor, respect, our adoration. Treating Him as a holy God and Savior that He is. I mean, think about it, saints. I mean, God does tell us to come to Him, but I think about Moses. When Moses came to Him, when God spoke to him through the burning bush, God said, wait a minute, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground. Now, wasn't anything so special about that mountain in and of itself? It was a holy place, a holy ground, because God is there. I said it's a holy place because God is there. Well, we thank God for this structure here, this building. I love fellowship, you know, 1811 Roanoke Avenue. But if the presence of God is never here, there's nothing so special about this building. We don't reverence the building. We worship and respect the God that we serve in this building. I mean, hallow His name. reverence his name. And sometimes when you're reverencing his name, and sometimes you're praying to God, just use some names right out of the Bible. There are many names for God in the Bible. I'm going to give you a few of these right out of the Bible. There have been books written about them. We know some of these. So when you're praying, sometimes, saints, in your prayer life, just take a little time to say, God, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. Even if you don't know the Jehovah names, kind of know the meanings. Lord, you are my provider. I'm reverencing who you are. God, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer. God, you are Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace. God, you are Jehovah Nisi. You are the Lord our banner. You go before us. You fight my battles before us. And also you're my rear guard. You're watching me from behind. Lord, you are, here's another one. You are Jehovah Teniskanu, which means the Lord our righteousness. I'm only righteous because you've declared me righteous. You are my righteousness. So when you're praying in your prayer, like reverence God. God, you are Jehovah Shammah. That means the Lord who is there. He is here, there, and everywhere. He is Jehovah Shammah. So you and I, we ought to hallow his name, reverence his name. He is, here's another name, he is El Elyon, meaning the God Most High. Dear Father, you are, it's a lot of gods out there, but you are the God Most High. You far above any of them other gods. You are the God Most High. You are El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. You are my God. You are Yahweh. I mean, God was so awesome. The Jews, they wouldn't even really say his real name. They reverence his name so much. I like what God himself says in Exodus 34:5 when he was talking to Moses. And Moses said, Lord, reveal more of yourself to me. And look at what God said in Exodus 34:5. He said, I am the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty. Let me say that again. God said that about himself. See, God can brag on himself. God said, I am the Lord God, merciful and gracious. He said, I'm long suffering. I'm patient. He said, I'm abounding. I'm running over with goodness and mercy and truth. He said, matter of fact, I'm forgiving generations, thousands and thousands of generations, showing them mercy and over and over and over. So God is awesome. He is an awesome God. So reverence his name. Reverence who he is. It's something about the name of God. Something about the name of Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. I said there's something about the name of Jesus. Yeah, I just feel better calling on the name of Jesus. There's just something about the name of Jesus. The Bible says demons tremble at the name of Jesus. People are saved in the name of Jesus. People are healed in the name of Jesus. People are delivered in the name of Jesus. People are set free in the name of Jesus. It's just something about the name of Jesus. It's just something about the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It's something about the name of our God. He's an awesome God. I said, he's an awesome God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, consider him sacred and awesome and merciful. As you pray to our God, it's kind of a delicate balance. I often think about the fact that he is God. And we are to reverence him, have a holy fear of him, have a big respect for him. But yet he says, come, matter of fact, he even says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Matter of fact, he beckons and says, come, bring all of your cares to me because I care for you. Jesus says things like this, take upon me my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's like the ladies, I often go to this illustration out of the scriptures. It's like those ladies who came to the tomb that morning and Jesus was not there. And the Bible said they left there trembling, yet with great joy. See, we serve the type of God, as you and I pray, sometimes we tremble out of a respect and out of a different type of fear and reverence. But also, we do it with great joy because he's our great God. So in praying to God, remember that he is holy. He is to be honored and revered. Here's a pretty good little quote I found from John Calvin. Listen, he said, God's name should be hallowed was nothing other than to say that God should have his own honor, of which he is so worthy, that men or women, should never think or speak of him without the greatest of reverence. Let me say that again. Brother Calvin said that God's name being hallowed is really nothing more than that God should have his own honor, of which he is so worthy that men should never think or speak of him without the greatest of reverence. That's why God himself said, don't take my name in vain. Don't just be using my name. Just be using my name. He's God. He's Jesus. So God is our Father. Talking about how to get a prayer through. Talking about how to make our prayer lives more vibrant. God is our Father. Knowing that God is our Father removes fear. It gives hope and gives peace. Knowing that God is our Father settles the matter of resources. Knowing that God is our Father settles the matter of loneliness. Knowing that God is our Father settles the matter of selfishness. Knowing that God is our Father settles the matter of obedience. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So keep on praying, saints. Here's a little quick acronym, and I'll be referring to this throughout this series. I actually got this from a pastor friend of mine over in Memphis, Pastor Carmichael. Praying, P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. So I didn't originate it. I stole it from somebody. I told him I'm going to use it. I stole it from somebody else. Deacon Beasley. Now, you know that old saying. They say the first time you say something, you give a person credit. Like, okay, Brother Michael Teal said that. Then the next time you'd be like, somebody once said. And then the third time, you just go on roll with it like it's yours, you know. Like it's yours, you know, like you said. But praying, P-R-A-Y-I-N-G, Pastor Carmichael gave it to me. The P, as we pray for the plan of God, the purpose of God. Pray that God will reveal to you, plan and purposes. Pray for the plan of God, the P in praying. The R in praying, pray for relatives. Pray for relatives, you know, cousins, you know, cousin them. Pray for them. You know, we all got some great cousins, great relatives. Some of them love the Lord. Some of them great people. Some of them, you almost ready to dodge when you see them coming. You're like, man. See the number on call ID. Oh, not him. Like, not her. Not my cousin. But now, pray for our relatives. Pray for our cousins. The A in praying. Pray for those in authority. Those who are in authority, like the president or the governor or the mayor or, you know, senators. Pray for those in authority. The Bible tells us that. Pray for those in authority. Praying. Pray for the purpose and plan of God. Pray for relatives. Pray for those in authority. The why in praying. We got this one. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. It's okay. Yeah. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Praying. The I in praying. Brother Olin, the I in praying. Pray for those that are ill or sick. You know, that's one of the reasons we put, you know, for people to call or send them cards. One of them we put on the back of the bulletin every day, what we call the healing list. Pray for those that are ill or sick. The end in praying. Pray for those non-believers. Also, I'm adding this one. You can pray for your neighbors. You know, many of our neighbors know Jesus. Some of them don't. Some of them, even the ones that know Jesus, we all need prayer. So pray for non-believers or pray for neighbors. And then the G, pray for godly folks. Pray for the other saints. So that's a good little acronym there, a little acrostic. Praying. Pray for the plan and purpose of God. Pray for your relatives. Pray for those in authority. Pray for yourself. Pray for those that are ill or sick. Pray for those unbelievers. And pray for the saints. Pray for godly folks. But all in all, saints, here it is. Pray. Pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. Pray when you think it's getting through. Pray when you don't think it's getting through. Just keep on praying. I said, keep on praying. Now, for some of us, praying might be, quote unquote, one of the easier spiritual disciplines. But for many of us, prayer is work. If I got into prayer warriors in the house, anybody in praying for prayer is work. But keep on praying. And here's a great model, Matthew 6, and we'll continue on next week. But we want to be a more fervent in our prayer life. We want to be a more effective praying church. We just want to pray. I mean, when you pray, it's simply, I gave a little definition at the beginning of the thing, but it's really communicating with God, talking to God and listening to God. Prayer. 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 Father, we do thank you for the gift of prayer. We thank you that we can call on your name. We thank you that we can cry out to you. We thank you that we can come and bring our adoration, our praises, dear God, in our prayer life. We thank you that we can come and confess sin, dear Lord, in our prayer life. We thank you that we can pray for others, dear Lord, in our prayer life. We thank you that we can pray for ourselves. We can bring our own cares to you because you do care for us. So, Father, help all the more to give us a mindset to pray in a way that's pleasing to you.